WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. John Hood is with us this morning. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Good morning, John.
And a good morning, Bart.
Good to
be with you.
You sound like you ought to get in radio.
7 degrees. I never thought about it.
John used to be right here on the Good Neighbor Station a few years back. And once you're in radio, I don't think you ever really get it out of your system.
Probably true, yeah. I know a lot of other people the same way.
Uh-huh. Now, you were here when we had some exciting things. And we're going to, by the way, for those of you who remember Boots, 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 which I guess is one of those commercials that you always do remember.
Yeah, Sol Arbit and Hub Store.
We're going to be talking with Jerry Brown a little bit later this morning and reminiscing with him as well. So we're just going to have some fun. John, what are some of the strongest memories you have of your early days here at WGNS?
Well, WGNS at that time was over the Cecil Elrod's Friend Shop, which is where I believe the guidance center is still in that building now up on the second floor. And Mr. Cecil Elrod owned WGNS. His son, Cecil Jr., had been in Armed Forces Radio in World War II. I think he was in Brazil. He worked in Armed Forces Radio, came home, and, "Daddy, I want a radio station." And so they put WGNS on the air. January 1, 1947, I noticed you have that they actually went on the air the night before, I believe.
Well, about an hour and a half or so before midnight.
Before. Technically, January 1, 1947.
Right. They wanted to ring in the new year.
250 watts full-time station at the French, over the French shop. Murfreesboro is quite different from now from when it was in. It's amazing how it's changed over the years. I was there from 1948 to 1954. Central High School, at that time, many high schools had a diversified occupations program. And I was in DO, and you went to school in the morning, and you worked in the afternoon. Then I went to work at WGNS in the afternoon. Mr. Ira Daniel was the teacher at the time, later Rutherford County School Superintendent and a longtime good friend. And so I worked as a student there beginning in 1948, stayed until 1954 when I went in the Army. Well, I graduated from MTSU and then went in the Army. Came back after the Army and was with WMTS for 4 years from 56 to 60. But radio certainly was quite different in those days. It was just one of the main outlets. I'm not saying it isn't today, but that was before the days of TV, and it was just one of those exciting times to be. Looking, some of the pictures you have out in the foyer brought back memories, and I brought some of my photographs from the past. One picture you have out there is Archie Campbell, Lowell Blanchard, and myself, and that was at the Lions Exposition, which turned out to be a big county fair, but the Lions Club sponsored it. It almost got too big for a civic club to handle, I think.
Now, where was that held?
It was held at the old fairgrounds on the Shelbyville Highway.
Which is still a grassy field.
That's true. Nothing has gone there, as I recall. I'm not for sure who owns that now. At one time, I did know. But
now, when he says Shelbyville Highway, we're talking about pretty close to downtown, between the Juvenile Justice Center and, I guess, the Monster Car Wash.
Well, just beyond the Juvenile Justice Center, right?
Yeah.
It would be that. That's that open area.
Very commercial area.
Right.
And it's odd that that one strip continues to be vacant, unimproved. But it's almost like it's waiting for the county fairgrounds or something.
Well, that was where the fairgrounds were for many years prior to that time. Harness racing was a big event at the county fair, as it was in many counties. And then it went vacant for a number of years, and the Lions Club started the exposition, and they moved out there to have room to do so. And I remember Archie Campbell, Lowell Blanchard. They also have a picture of the John Daniel Quartet.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lowell Blanchard was from Knoxville.
He was an announcer, disc jockey from Knoxville.
WNOX, was it?
I believe that's correct.
Uh-huh. Okay. A lot of people, when you ask somebody, what was the first radio station in Tennessee? What do they normally say? I think they probably say WSM.
That would be my first reaction, WSM. I'm not sure that's correct.
It's not correct.
It was one of the early ones.
WNOX was the first.
I thought that's what you were about to say. Yeah. I knew it was one of the early ones.
Strangely enough, WNOX sold a while back, and I'm not sure what was in the person's mind who bought it. They gave up the call letters.
I didn't realize it.
Which, you know, that'd be like buying WSM and saying, I don't want that call letter, and give it away.
What are the new call letters? Do you know?
I don't know what they are now, but it's not WNOX anymore. Hmm. Somebody else in town grabbed it quickly, though. They saw the opportunity and quickly...
And picked up the call letters.
Picked up the call letters.
Wonderful. Good
and
thinking.
Using it on an FM station.
One of the recollections I had was Seward Air Base at that time was training... I guess pilots and crews to fly the C-119, and they had a guy by the name of a gentleman that was the public information officer, who had worked with William Morris Agency, one of the major booking agencies in the country, and he was in the Air Force, the PIO officer at Seward. He had a lot of connections, and what he would do, he would find an orchestra. That was the days of the big band, of course. He would find an orchestra, say it was playing a show on Saturday night in Chicago, and they were going to be in New Orleans on Monday night. And he would get in touch with them and say, look, we'll fly you from Chicago to New Orleans in an Air Force plane if you'll stop on Sunday night and play a dance here for the airmen at Seward Air Base. So he brought in a number of named bands, and one of the pictures you have in the lobby is Johnny Long and his orchestra. I have a picture where I'm right in the very corner of that scene there where they were playing down there. Many folks today won't remember Johnny Long. The main thing I can remember about him, one of his great hits was a shanty in Old Shanty Town.
Oh, yeah. He was a very well-known band in that era.
He certainly was, one of the main bands. And they brought in just you name it, every name band there was. And at that time... There was a guy in Texas who had formed a baseball network, broadcasting baseball games, and he eventually developed into what they call the Liberty Broadcasting System. From there, he decided he wanted to make it a regular full-time network and do things other than baseball. So Cecil Elrod had been in touch with him, and so we fed those to the Liberty Broadcasting System from Seward Air Base. So they were broadcast nationally from Seward. For the entertainment.
So,
the
and you were there. The announcer, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I announced on several of those, right.
And so you were actually not only here in Murfreesboro, but they were hearing John Hood originate programs from WGNS all over the United States, maybe all over the world.
Johnny Long in the orchestra, and I was a small part of the.
Well, how about Billy May?
And Billy May, yeah, right.
And quite a few others.
Billy May was there. Billy, by the way, was one of those... bands that started in the studio doing recordings, and it was not a band that actually did performance. It became, on RCA Records, it became so popular that they actually put a regular band together and then started touring and over the country playing dances and public concerts and that type of thing.
So those were some days that, just like today, Murfreesboro was known in other places other than Middle Tennessee. And in that case, the radio got the name out all around.
I remember one thing about Billy May. I know you have a call. He had given me a list of all the tunes and the songs they were going to be playing. And one of them was Lean Baby, and it had Spare Lean Baby. So I remember announcing it as Spare Lean Baby. Well, the mark was that was a spare in case it needed extra song.
One of those great songs, Spare Lean Baby. Well, now, here is a voice that I think people will remember. Good morning. How are you today? Top of the morning to you. Who is on the phone with us? Hey, Jerry, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry Brown. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, there is a voice that people used to hear on a regular basis. was it 38 years, Jerry, is that right?
Yes.
38 years.
That's right.
The voice on WGNS and the voice that is remembered over and over and over Jerry, people still ask me about one particular commercial that you have. You remember that one?
Boots.
Let's stroll down memory lane just a second, Jerry.
Everybody remembers that one.
I think so, too. Here is the way it was back in the earlier days.
Boots, boots, boots. Yes, the Hub Store on the west side of the square has boots for everyone. Boots, boots, boots. For the men, the Hub Store has 4 buckle boots, 5 buckle boots, zipper boots, and knee boots. Boots, boots, boots. For the ladies, the Hub has reindeer, slip-on rubber boots, and fur-lined waterproof boots. Boots, boots, boots. For the children, the Hub has slip-on rubber boots, 4 buckle boots, and zipper boots. Boots, boots, boots. That's the Hub Store where you can get boots, boots, boots for the entire family.
You never know what people are going to remember, but for some reason, Jerry, they remember boots, boots, boots. I bet you have people say that to you when you go into a place these days. You're the guy that did boots, boots, boots.
I remember, Jerry, too, when I was at the station, used to do the commercials for a Hub Store, and Saul Arbit was the owner and later his son, Hal, but Saul liked to be on the commercials himself. He didn't worry about whether they were on a good time or not, but he enjoyed doing it. He was such a good guy and such a good friend.
Right.
Now, Jerry, you also, in the earlier days, Jerry remembers the day WGNS came on the air. In fact, you actually broadcast from our first studio. Tell us where that was and what it was like.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you... I'm having difficulty hearing you.
I'll try to...
And I don't know what's in my phone or not, but...
I'll try to talk a little bit louder then. what I was saying is, tell us about your memories of the early WGNS when we broadcast actually from a studio down near the radio tower. Did you hear that, Jerry?
No, sir. I can't make it out what you're saying. I guess my...
Okay, turn your radio up just a little bit there with you. That's okay to do that. So you can hear us on the radio.
It was at the transmitter building.
Yeah, he was at
which is at the tower on South Church Street.
Yeah, okay. Jerry, tell us about what it was like broadcast. I can imagine today being 7 degrees, this was still a swampy area, probably. Tell us about your memories of the early broadcast from the first studio. Okay.
I'm so sorry. I can't make out what you're saying, Bart.
Okay, I'll put you on hold, and then you can hear that, and then we'll pause slightly when we slip you back on the air. What I was asking you, Jerry was very fortunate to be one of the very first people on the air here on WGNS, and he broadcast from our first studio, which was not downtown, but actually down near the tower, which is in a wetland area. And I bet on a cold morning like today, it would have been a foggy area. Jerry, tell us about your memories of those early days at the tower.
I don't remember too much about it.
Yeah, the building was not all the way down under the tower. It was on a little
I remember that. I would get up. Sorry. Back in those days, we were on the air from... sun up to sundown, I guess. We weren't on 24 hours a day. But we'd sign on at probably 5 o'clock in the morning and off at sunset in the afternoons. I don't know. The worst thing about, I guess it was, is getting up at 3:30 every morning for many years. Many years before we started staying on the air 24 hours a day, we would sign on and sign off daytime hours only. But that was the difficult part, is getting up at the time each morning, Monday through Saturday.
Jerry, I guess in the early days, you actually were playing on the radio with Carl Tipton, were you not, before you were doing the announcing?
Jerry, did you hear John? Hello, Jerry? I'm not sure he's hearing us right now. Let me try that again. Let's see here. Okay, Jerry, did you hear that? I'm not sure what's happened here. Okay. We're having some technical problems, and we're trying to get through to Jerry Brown there. Tell you what let's do. Let's pause. Whenever in doubt, let's hear a word from some of the fine people who are making the program possible. And we'd like to remind you that these are local advertisers, just like we had local businesses on WGNS back in 1947 when we came on the air, way back then. And those local businesses made everything possible. So make it a point to let our local advertisers know you heard them on WGNS.
Hello, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurant, a family restaurant tradition for four generations, now in our 24th year, serving our most popular menu item, great-tasting oven-baked chicken soup. Back in 1989, when my mom and dad were planning Demas's, they debated whether baked chicken soup should even be on the menu. Both agreed that it was a good item, but they weren't sure it would be accepted. Because my dad and his sisters had eaten it all of their lives, especially when anybody had a bad cold, they decided to risk it. They did it, and now I can say the rest is history. We made over 65,000 gallons last year and make more every day. We sell it by the cup, bowl, quart, or gallon. You can even freeze it for shipping or to save it for a later date. Give yourself a treat today. Baked chicken soup, buy it in the store or get it to go. Demas's Restaurant in Murfreesboro, Lebanon, downtown Nashville, and Hendersonville. Get your chicken soup today.
Here at Animal City, you can be sure to find premium quality foods for all of the pets in your family. And with everybody moving indoors for the winter, now is a wonderful time to renovate that tired-looking fish tank. We have a full line of products for every taste and budget. And here at Animal City, we have baby birds hatching out on a weekly basis. Don't miss out on your next hand-fed companion. This is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with our family at 919 Northwest Broad Street, next to the bowling lanes.
Play it again, sports!
Your fitness headquarters.
We've got our hands on name brands like Schwinn, Horizon, Bowflex, and more. Create your own discount. Bring in your old sporting goods and walk out with new equipment.
Play it again, sports!
On Thompson Lane.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning. Looking good in Murfreesboro right now. No reports of accidents or incidents. We do have some possible slippery spots out there from the overnight ice and snow, so anticipate that as you make your way through the areas that may not have been treated this morning. We've also got Broad at Church and Broad at Memorial with light traffic. I-24 in downtown looks good right now. Again, no accidents or incidents to report on the major thoroughfares. You can still give yourself the gift of a healthy smile. Make an appointment with your Dr. Rushing and the Nashville Smile Team and get 50% off a new patient exam, x-ray, and cleaning. Call 220-1100 or visit NashvilleSmileTeam.com today. Randy Brand, Skywest Traffic.
I look now at the Murfreesboro weather on WGNS, brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Wind chill advisory remains in effect here for the forecast area. A few spotty flurries this afternoon, mostly cloudy, high near 10 above. Northwest winds of 15 to 20, and we'll have winds gusting as high as 30. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 7 above.
Thank you for making our first 5 years here in Murfreesboro so successful. This is Freedom Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard. Call 615-494-4200. Member FDIC.
Consumer Warrior Clark Howard, weekdays 11 to 1. Rutherford County's place to talk.
Hey, we're back again, reminiscing 67 years on the air. That is WGNS Radio. John Hood is with us. And on the phone, Jerry Brown, a voice that all of you remember on WGNS. Jerry was the first person who was on Swap and Shop. And he did Swap and Shop for about 30 or so years. I mean, he is the longest running Swap and Shop person. Jerry, tell us about the early days on Swap and Shop.
Well, I don't remember very much, Bart. Like I said earlier, I forget a lot of things, but when you get to be my age, I guess you expect to. See, I'll be 88 years old on my birthday.
Well, happy birthday. That, I know that birthday is the same as mine, as a matter of fact.
July that birthday, the 15th. I understand, is the same as yours. We share the birthday.
That's right. and also share a love for radio.
Yeah.
So that that is very, very true. Well, Jerry, I know that we were having some technical problems this morning in communicating with you, but we do thank you for joining us this morning and sharing some of the memories you had of the early days at the Good Neighbor Station. Thank you, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry, good to hear from you.
All right. Thank you very much. And I'm sorry about the phone being so weak here, but I can't understand why. I paid my bill.
We just need to make the string a little tighter. Thank you, Jerry. Have a great day. Jerry Brown, what a great guy. What great memories. Truman, you remember Jerry. Everybody remembers Jerry on the radio.
I remember Jerry very well, and that one commercial still stands in my memory and will be forever. And Jerry's one of the class acts, and I've known him for a long time and in many, many ways. And I just want to say hi to Jerry because he's one of those people that you miss when he's not around.
Absolutely.
And I do miss him.
What a great guy.
Part of talking about the hours of the station, mm-hmm. We used to sign off at 10 o'clock at night.
That's what I was thinking.
And one year we had an election going on. There was a gentleman here that ran for sheriff. And he bought so many commercials, we couldn't get them on during the regular hours, so we stayed on an extra hour till 11 o'clock. It was just one of his commercials right after another. Bad radio, but good money.
But now, you could stay on as long as
you
wanted.
Oh, yeah, we were full time. We could stay on as long as we wanted to.
The 10 o'clock hour, I think there was some kind of ruling that you had to be on so many hours a day license for a full-time station. And so that was why it went off at 10. I was here in the mid-60s.
Okay.
And it was going off, I think, at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock, yeah, much, much later. The guy, I couldn't think of his name earlier, that was at Seward that did the brought in all the bands was Frank Zerbe.
Frank Zerbe. Okay.
Frank Zerbe. And an interesting note to that, several years later, I guess I was at Murfreesboro Bank and Trust Company, and we heard that a major carrier was coming into Seward Air Base. The rumor was, first of all, that FedEx was going to put an operation there. I remember even calling and called for Frank Smith, who was the head of FedEx. He even answered his phone rather than the secretary. It wasn't them. Turned out it was, I believe it was Avery was the name of it, out of Ohio. And guess who the CEO of that company was?
Your friend.
Frank Zerbe. You're talking about small world kind of a thing. They came into Seward, stayed for a few years, and eventually left. Never get to see him or talk to him.
John, tell us about some of the days that you were here when General MacArthur came
to
town.
That was one of the things I was going to mention was April 30th, 1951. General MacArthur had been fired by President Truman and came back to the USA. You know, he had married a Murfreesboro girl, Jean Marie Faircloth. So General MacArthur made his famous speech about old soldiers never die, they just fade away. He'd appeared in Congress, appeared at West Point. And so the effort here by the Chamber of Commerce to get him to bring Jean Marie, bring his wife, and come home. So the Chamber of Commerce worked on that diligently to get him to do so. And he came in April 30th of 1951. The plane landed at Seward Air Base. And I remember we did 5 pickups with WGNS at that time to be able to cover it. At that time, what is now Highway 41 to Smyrna to Nashville was just a roadbed. What we call the old Nashville Highway was actually Highway 41. So I remember we broadcast the pickup at Seward when they landed and deboarded the plane. And then we jumped in the car and came up the roadbed of the new highway to beat them to Murfreesboro and be able to broadcast. Louis Penuel was suspended over College Street, right, what was it, the Haynes Hotel at the time, broadcasting from above. They came up, went around the square, went to the James K. Polk Hotel on East Main, which is where SunTrust Bank is located now, freshened up, and then went on to Horace Jones Field, where they had a program, a presentation there introducing all of them. Mr. Jennings Jones was mayor at the time, and I remember the 50th anniversary of that. Mr. Jones and I were on WGNS talking about and reflecting about that particular day. From there, they went to Stones River Country Club for a luncheon, and then from Stones River Country Club back to Seward and on back to New York, where they resided for a number of years. One of the interesting things when they came to, one of the interesting things with all the committees that were formed with the Chamber of Commerce to coordinate this, the Chamber then had a little office on East Main Street, the building now gone. finally somebody said, look, we need a coordinating committee to be able to coordinate this thing. And that's my first experience of a steering committee. So they appointed a committee on committees, they called it, but a steering committee, and finally worked out all the details. To be able to ride the general in style, Mr. Roy Byrne, B-Y-R-N, was then the Buick Cadillac dealer. He borrowed a Rolls Royce from a friend of his over in Columbia. So they had a Rolls Royce convertible for them to drive in. Came to James K. Polk Hotel, got out to go in to freshen up, came back out, and guess what? The Rolls wouldn't start.
Oh, no.
So they had to get a group of people to push the Rolls Royce down East Main Street to get it started, and they did. One of the sidelights, Dr. Homer Pittard, was principal at Central High School, and the general and his lady had a young son named Arthur. And Dr. Pittard and others said, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get Arthur to come back to Murfreesboro and enroll in high school in his mother's hometown? So Dr. Pittard and others had a huge sign up on top of Central, what's now Central Magnet School, Central Middle School. It was Central High School then, said, hi, Arthur. Once they got that Rolls going, they didn't slow down for anything. And I'm sure about all I could see was a blur of Central High School on that sign. Arthur didn't come back. I never did know whatever happened to Arthur. I don't know whether he's still living or not. Mrs. MacArthur lived for many years in the Waldorf Astoria, even after the general died. And I presume she was still living there when she died. One of the years after that, she came back for a visit, and we had her visit in the bank. And I have some pictures made with her and Bob Mifflin and Jack Holden with Mrs. MacArthur back to her hometown. Mr. Doc Earthman was a classmate, a contemporary of hers, and he was one instrumental. That's Mary Weatherford's father. Mr. Earthman was instrumental in getting her to come back and bring the general back to Murfreesboro. So it was quite a day.
What a great day that was. And broadcasting-wise, it was a phenomenal day.
Oh, it was. WSM Radio did their whole broadcast schedule that entire day from the James K. Polk Hotel starting in the morning and the various pickups around the town, Seward Air Base and Horace Jones Field, everywhere. It was a phenomenal broadcast day.
Now, I know Cecil Elrod was rumored to always have enjoyed unique ways to broadcast. I heard stories about him running wires across the rooftops of buildings downtown. But
you
this
must
one
be
had
kidding.
This had to be a real challenge. Hanging announcers from ropes and what over the streets,
oh, yeah,
so they would have vantage points.
Well, you know, at that time you had to have a telephone line to broadcast. Presuming now you do it wirelessly, do
right?
You
we
not?
Do.
If you broadcast a ball game from,
you can
Riverdale
do it anywhere with studio quality.
So
now
we had to have had to order a telephone line that would connect you to wherever you're doing the broadcast. And during World War II, the Army had set up phone lines all over the county, if you will, during maneuvers. And Mr. Elrod had acquired a lot of that wire, and he would himself personally, from rooftop to rooftop, early morning before everybody's up, would run those phone lines. It was a lot cheaper to do it that way than to pay for it with the phone company. But those are just fond recollections.
Oh, I tell you, those were the early days of not only radio, but Murfreesboro. About how many people were here? It's hard to picture. I mean, Murfreesboro today, 12,000 people. That's Murfreesboro.
I want to say 1940. I don't know why I remember that. It was 7,000 something, 1940.
That's what I was thinking, something really
so
small.
So 1947, it was growing a little bit then. Of course, after World War II, when a lot of the young men came back from the Army, they'd been seeing the world, so to speak, and came back and they started running for election. In the community, started new businesses and had a whole different mindset, I guess, if you will, and really started the community growing. We started working on getting industry in, General Electric, State Farm, a lot of the companies that came in back during those days. A lot of people don't realize probably that Ronald Reagan visited the GE plant.
I did not realize
Ronald Reagan was spokesman for General Electric Company at one time during his acting career. I think when his acting career maybe was sort of on the lighter side, lesser side. So he was spokesman for General Electric. They had a program every Sunday night at 9 o'clock, I think on NBC radio, I believe it was, and he would be on there. And one of his jobs was to go around country and visit GE locations. So he visited the Murfreesboro plant sometime in the 1950s. I couldn't put an actual date on it.
Did you have an opportunity to interview him?
Did not. As I recall, I was out there, but I don't remember him being made available. I have a fuzzy recollection. I just know he was there.
What a great memory that is.
Oh, what, yeah.
And it's sad to say that right now, while we are talking, they are piece by piece taking apart.
Dismantling that building, piece by piece. That's interesting, rather than just demolishing it.
Well, they're trying to salvage it and,
I'm
and
sure.
to, you know, recycle it in any way they can.
Yeah, GE came here in about sometime in the 50s, I believe it was, where that plant was a built fractional horsepower motors for washing machines and other appliances. It was a great part of this community.
And that's, continued to be for decades.
Oh, for many years.
Yeah.
We had some outstanding plant managers who were very much involved in the community, on the school board, I think maybe the county, not the county commission, but I know some of them were on the school board for the community.
Now, we were talking about some of the historical events that happened in which WGNS covered. You talked about Seward Air Force Base, the broadcast. You talked about the day that MacArthur came to town. What about the day the Japanese submarine was on the square?
Bart, I do not remember that at all. I know I've seen the pictures and used them many times from Shacklett Studio, and I personally have no recollection of when that happened or being there.
I think it was in the 50s, and again, it was a promotion to sell war bonds.
Yes, that's correct.
And how many places do you have a Japanese submarine on the square?
We have many events. I have a picture here made over at the Princess Theater. With some activities promoting war bonds. Joe Messick was a young guy at that time, and he was helping us out. So we had a lot of things going on for those types of things.
Now, you did the announcing work on some broadcast of spelling bees, which was really popular.
That was promoted and sponsored by the county schools. Miss Sue McKee was the supervising teacher at the time, and we did that spelling bee in the WGNS studios in the Cecil Elrod building. I have one of my pictures here. Mr. Jimmy D. Brandon was assistant superintendent of schools. Miss Sue McKee and other folks gathered there, and the spelling bee was quite an event throughout the year.
By the way, if you don't mind, we'd like to take some pictures of any of the pictures that we don't have and put them on our website. We already have quite a few of the historical pictures, many of them thanks to John Hood.
I've seen several of those. You have a nice display.
And people enjoy reminiscing and going back through time. But it's interesting how that feel of the community is still here today. I mean, people still feel at home. You still feel, even though it's a big community now, you still have that close feeling.
You very definitely do, and I hope we never lose it.
I hope so, too. And I don't think we have to.
I don't think so either. One of the things, as today, WGNS was the place for sports broadcasting. And Mr. Elrod, Cecil, went to Washington on a trip, and he hired, I believe, three people. He had Doris Winters, came down, did traffic. I can't think of the engineer's name. I don't think he stayed too long. And a guy named Ray Duffy out of Massachusetts. Ray came in and had a very strong Yankee brogue. And folks had a difficult time understanding him. But as he started doing sports and people got used to him and got to know him, what a great Christian gentleman he was. What a great individual. He became such an integral part of the community, later becoming the recreation director for the city of Murfreesboro.
The very first one, I believe.
I'll tell you the name of a couple I just saw. Joe Morgan was one,
The
second one, and just saw him at Joe Black Hayes' visitation, and it was one other person before him. But Ray was one of the early ones and one of the great ones for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
We used to broadcast the football games. Ray did play-by-play. I did the color and the commercials, and we did them live. And what we would do many times, we would sell the sponsors. And I remember at one particular period, we got $100 for a game. So we would go out and sell 10 sponsors at $10 each.
Which was a lot of money.
Oh, Lord, at that time. And by about 3 or 3:30, we had to get in the car and drive to Tullahoma, Shelbyville, Manchester, Sparta, wherever it was. So we'd get $100 booked, and we'd get in the car and go broadcast the ball game and then come back that night.
Now, right now, when you think about Murfreesboro sports, you have so many really tremendous high schools have phenomenal teams and great athletic departments. I mean, they are competing really with themselves. But when we look back at the 40s and 50s, there was just one school in Murfreesboro.
One
high school.
We had 8 high schools in the county
time, right.
The whole county, but Central High School was the school in Murfreesboro.
So when you looked at a whole season, you could play each other in the county, but then you'd have to go out of the county.
Right. Typically, the other schools only had basketball and did not have football. I think maybe Smyrna may have had, but we had a high school at Walter Hill, high school at Las Casas, high school at Kittrell, high school at Christiana, high school at Rockvale, high school at Eagleville. I believe that's it. That should be about 8. Mm-hmm. And with the building of Riverdale and Oakland,
which was in 71, I think.
Right, and those were centralized into those two high schools, and they reverted back to an elementary school, K-8 or something like that. But now we're back to, I'm not sure how many high schools we do have today, but back to even more, as I recall, and more on the way.
So back then, to find an opponent in football, you'd have to travel to White County or Bedford or Coffee.
Or even further.
Further, yeah.
Back in MTSU, MTSC, I guess it was in those days, used to play a lot of teams in East Tennessee. They used to play Emory and Henry, which was outside of Bristol, East Tennessee State College it was then, Milligan College, which is at Johnson City, and Carson Newman at Jefferson City. There was no interstate in those days. So what we would do if we had a game up there from particularly beyond Knoxville, you'd drive pretty well all day Saturday, do the ball game that night, spend the night, get up, and drive all day Sunday to get home without the interstate.
Now, when you say no interstate, I want us to cover this when we get back. We're going to pause for just a moment, check on the weather once again, because that's really on everybody's mind right now. And when we come back, we're going to look at Murfreesboro with no interstate. Mm. And, you know, sometimes it may not, it was a planned situation is what I'm saying. We'll be right back.
Get the latest local real estate information, lawn and garden tips, and more Saturdays at noon on the Rutherford Home Show with Dean Higley and Dave Grover here on WGNS.
At the Salvation Army Family Store, you can get bargain prices on clothes, furniture, household goods, electronics, and more. Every Wednesday, get 50% off most items in the store.
All the clothes that we have in the store, no matter what color tag it is half off.
Store manager Mark Sheridan.
Usually, we do run some other type of sale on the furniture and other things that we do sell here in the family store.
Your purchases go directly to fund Salvation Army programs here in Rutherford County. The Salvation Army Family Store is at 125 South Front Street, across from Captain D's on Broad.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
I'm Greg Tidwell.
And I'm Lisa Halliburton. Bell Jewelers welcomes you.
Bell Jewelers is the diamond store in Murfreesboro. We have the largest selection of diamond bridal, anniversary, and other special occasions, all at great values.
Visit us at belljeweler.com. Like us on Facebook.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
Bell Jewelers, family owned and operated since 1879.
WeatherEye.
Wind chill advisory remains in effect here for the forecast area. A few spotty flurries this afternoon, mostly cloudy, high near 10 above. Northwest winds of 15 to 20, and we'll have winds gusting as high as 30. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki. Right now, 7 above.
Brought to you by Radio Shack. Trade in 5 working portable electronics and get $25 credit toward a Fitbit Flex tablet or more at Radio Shack through February 28th in stores. Details at RadioShack.com. Void where prohibited.
Stay ahead of severe weather. Get breaking news and local sports scores first. This is Jenny Williams at Gill's Ace Hardware in Smyrna. We sponsor text alerts from WGNSradio.com. Look for the sign-up link on the homepage. It's a free service.
Financial Coaching Radio, weekdays 4 to 5.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
We're reminiscing this morning. John Hood is with us, and 67 years. That's how long WGNS has been on the air now.
Happy birthday.
Don't feel a bit over 66. let's go to the phones here. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Yes.
Hi.
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
This is Udan Baskin Herod, and I remember when WGNS got their new news reel that came in because some of us students, I think it was from Murray School out on Bradle Road. At least I know I was there. And Mr. John Douglas Hood was very young at the time, like 17. He started maybe with WGNS.
I did.
But who is the announcer? And I've known him for years, and I cannot think of what he is, and y'all haven't named him. He and his wife had a shop on the square right down below City Cafe, and I bought an old-fashioned piano planter from them. Who am I thinking? He was kind of stooped, and he wasn't stoop-shouldered, but he was really a sweet person. Who am I thinking? He was announcer for WGNS a long time, a good long while. And then I think he went to WMTS.
Wonder who that, and his family had a store on the square.
Yeah, he and his wife. Right along there where the Gumway shop is now, they had a store right there by the barber shop and the shoe shine shop.
Wow. It won't come to me. I'm working on it.
Truman's in the other room. Maybe he can remember. Or any
about
of you.
What year was that?
It's been, he hasn't been gone that long from, I mean, he hasn't been deceased that long. But I think both, I think his wife is deceased too. I'm trying to think. I've known him, used to see him out on the street, you know, he'd go, I just can't recall his name. I was thinking y'all could, because he worked with WGNS for a good long
my
while.
Brain on that one.
Wasn't
he went in with the WMTS. The new radio station, I think.
Right. Boy, that just doesn't come running back. Maybe somebody listening can call us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling. If you remember that, call us, 893-1450. He and his wife had a shop up near
the City
Gourmet.
Cafe, she said, right.
Near Country Gourmet.
One of the things that I had some pictures from, Bart, you have another call?
Yeah, we do. Maybe this will be the answer for us. You're on WGNS. Good morning.
Was it Mr. Lancaster?
Oh.
Was it Neil Lancaster? I don't remember him.
Neil was selling. He was on the air some, but he was a salesman. I don't think he and Nell had a shop.
Okay.
I don't remember
that.
That
just came to me.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the longtime names, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you. What a great guy he was. I'm glad they brought him up, because he needs to be remembered as we reflect back on
Neil 67. And I had common birthdays, and
did
out
you?
Of that
oh,
we formed the 324 Club, which we still meet. We have about 20, 25 people, Jim Demas being one of them, and we meet every year on March the 24th to celebrate our birthdays together.
And that is something you started back when, was it?
It's the early 50s, because one day I said, Mr. Lancaster, do you know what day today is? And he said, no. I said, what day is it? And I said, it's my birthday. He said, well, it's mine too. So from that day on, early 50s, he got called back in the service from stationed at Gunner Air Base in Montgomery, Alabama. And I sent him a singing telegram down there. So they called him to the orderly room and sang happy birthday to him in the Air Force.
That's neat. Good morning. You're on WGNS with John Hood.
And Bart Walker.
Hello there. I think the cat got them.
Some of the pictures I was going to mention I have as a recollection. One of the fine fellows in this community in those days was Mr. Sam Vaughn, who had been in law enforcement, and I believe he was a deputy U.S. Marshal. He was transporting a prisoner to Atlanta, and the prisoner got loose from his handcuffs and killed Mr. Vaughn and pushed his body out of the car on the roadside north of Atlanta, and then sped away. From WGNS, we went down there to cover the search for the guy that killed Mr. Vaughn, and I have some pictures here. One of them is a gentleman who was on his porch and happened to see them kick him out of the car and leave his body there.
Wow.
We stayed all day down there, Billy Blanton and one other fellow, and I went, and Doc Benson. They didn't find him that day. They did find him the next day. But Mr. Sam was one of the great fellows, and his family, some of his family members are still residing in the community.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. Good morning. Hello there.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. I was listening to your program, and they brought up the question of some announcer that used to be on WGNS, and I thought of someone, but I don't know that what time frame he's talking about, but there used to be a man, actually, I knew his children, but I'm not a native of here. I'm from Kentucky, and we moved here in the 60s. Mm-hmm. My husband got hired by MTSU. But anyway, his name was John McCreary.
He passed away some years back,
and I knew his wife and two children.
Yeah, Sherry still lives here.
Fantastic people. I don't think that was John, though.
I don't think they ever had a shop, but John was on radio for many years here and a long-time good friend.
Great guy. Yeah. Thank you for calling.
Good thought.
Yeah. 893-1450, and the person that we're trying to identify supposedly had a shop up on East Main Street, right where the Country Gourmet is now, and he was here on WGNS for a while, then later went over to WMTS. But we can't put a name with that memory. 893-1450 is our phone number. And as you look back over the years, is there any other than what we've talked about, John, are there some memories that just really bounce out to you and you think, man, I'm glad that I did that. I'm glad we had that opportunity.
Well, I'm thinking we covered many grand openings, many events. One of the some of the pictures I had, I think you have one out here with Randy Wood, mm-hmm. who founded Dot Records. Randy had a group by the name of the Hilltoppers that used to sing and record for Dot Records. You remember the Hilltoppers?
Oh, absolutely.
Billy Vaughn, Jimmy Sacca, Frank. I used to know all four of them. I'll come up with them in a minute.
Some kid named Pat Boone.
Yeah, he wasn't in the Hilltoppers.
No, but he recorded.
Oh, yes.
One of Dot's. Well, Jimmy Sank, the Hilltoppers, and who else?
Yeah. But anyway, MTSU was playing Western Kentucky in basketball at that time. So, and Randy was a 1940 graduate of MTSU, Randy and Lois Wood. Mm-hmm. So MTSU arranged for him to bring the Hilltoppers to sing at halftime of that ball game. So we did an interview on WGNS with Randy in the studios talking about Randy, the Dot Records, and his success. He was instrumental in starting what is now the MTSU Foundation. Randy gave MTSU $100,000 and started that particular thing, and that has developed into a $1 million effort for MTSU. It's just amazing the campaign that they're in now and working toward $80 million.
We have all lines, people wanting to ask questions, and we're out of time. But let's see if we can squeeze in one really quick comment. You're on WGNS with John Hood. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, John. My name is Joe Peebles. I remember when you was personnel manager at Samson.
Oh, Joe, I remember you very well. Good to hear from you.
Y'all mentioned all the high schools in the county, but y'all never mentioned Holloway High School.
You're correct.
Y'all not remember them?
Joe, thank you. I apologize. Holloway, yes, sir. Holloway and Central were both in Murfreesboro.
The Cedar Bucket. Didn't you all fight for the Cedar Bucket?
Used to have the Cedar Bucket
bowl
game, didn't they?
No, Thanksgiving Day Cedar Bucket Classic.
Cedar Bucket Classic. Very good.
Yeah.
Joe, I apologize, and I thank you for that recollection.
Okay,
Holloway was very much a part of this community and turned out some great athletes.
Very definitely.
I remember the call for a play was 1-2-3, center the ball to Tommy Lee. Tommy Lee Feathers was the quarterback. You remember Tommy Lee?
Thank you very much, man.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. On that one, we say thank you, John Hood. Thanks for the memory.
Thank you, Bart. I enjoyed being with you. Appreciate the reminiscing.
Say I'm doing you wrong. Well, don't worry, mama, 'cause I'm right here at